If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Digital scams are everywhere. And this morning, we'll get some tips to help protect against all of that. Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg, good morning. There are so many scams, Scott. I don't think we can talk enough about online safety, can we?
We can't. Good morning, Bob. We could literally talk about it forever. But today, you know, I'd love to focus on some more common occurrences and how you can apply some common sense tips to avoid becoming a victim.
Sounds good. Where should we start?
Well, you know how you read over an email before you send it to avoid those spelling mistakes, those things that might come across as unprofessional? Email spammers and scammers, they don't do that. Text message spammers, they don't do that. So my advice here is if you get an email from someone you don't know and the spelling is off even just a little bit, be unforgiving. Assume the worst and then read it more closely.
That's good. I like that. The days of not judging a book by its cover are over, I guess, huh?
Yeah, when it comes to email, definitely, Bob. I mean, you can learn so much, if not everything, based on a subject line. Then the intro and the body of the email can give away that this might not be real.
So give us an example of something that raises an immediate red flag for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So any email that begins with the words, hello, dear, and that happens a lot, or has more than one space after a period, those are immediate red flags.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought hello, dear, but more than one space after a period. That's interesting. I remember when two spaces after a period was the norm. That's what we were taught in typing, remember?
Neat. I remember it so well, Bob, but now it's totally suspect. And normally a spam email has more tells than an extra space or misspellings. Now, any misspelled word, any symbol like a dollar sign in place of a letter, overuse of the words invoice attached. You might also see things like you have been charged, usually followed by click here to change your payment details.
So the problem is some of this sounds legit, doesn't it?
And that is true, Bob, but the devil is in the details because, you know, and sometimes applying common sense is the difference between successfully avoiding the scam and falling victim. Does this invoice sound like something you're expecting? This is what you should ask yourself. Did you expect to be charged? One of the biggest problems is we don't read what comes in our email. We scan. And when we scan, we see things that stand out no matter what they are. Now, scammers, they know this. That's also why you see things in bold in these emails.
We scan and then we get spammed. What about the subject line? Because that's the first thing we see before we open an email.
Bob, I'm often amazed at how often that's overlooked, both by us and the scammers. I got one yesterday that read, invoice from Lucille. Now, I don't know anyone named Lucille. And if I did, I don't think her name would be in the subject line. And this is where the common sense really plays. Just because you get an email doesn't mean you need to do what's in that email. And to be fair, you know, we've taken steps to avoid these scams. We now have junk email boxes where some of this stuff automatically goes. It's when something gets past the junk scanners and ends up in the inbox where we really need to show that extra care.
Talking with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg about digital scams and spams. What are some other signs to watch for, Scott?
Well, Bob, you want to look for the address where the email comes from. If it's a string of nonsensical letters and numbers, and let's say it has gmail.com attached to it, it's very unlikely, a professional email. But not everyone looks at the sender address. What I'm saying is we should absolutely be doing that as a matter of habit.
And the common advice of don't click on things you aren't familiar with, words to live by, aren't they?
Oh, so important, Bob, and it's really hard to stress it enough. 9 times out of 10, clicking on an email link takes you to a login page where they want your username and your password that's not legit. So if you click and end up updating your credit card information as directed by the email, you could very well be providing that information to the spammer.
Scary stuff. And you, as you always say, when in doubt, call and ask.
Bob, I stand by that, and I always will. But to be honest now, it does depend on the email. So an email that looks to be from Apple or Facebook, it's not going to have a number to call. But any correspondence from Apple or Facebook, it should come from the app itself and not in an email. If I get something from, let's say, my credit card company, and I have even the tiniest bit of doubt, I call the toll-free number on the back of the card and I ask. If they need my credit card number, they'll tell me why on the phone. And if they need me to update something, it'll certainly be doable on the phone. When it comes to credit card inquiries via email, always ask yourself two very important questions. First, why would a credit card company need to email me for my credit card info when it already has the info? And two, and this goes right back to the common sense part, do you have a credit card from that company? Make sure, because if you get a request from Visa and only have a MasterCard, that's the biggest red flag of all. Scammers, they prey on this stuff. They hope you comply. Second, they hope you don't notice this detail, which is actually much more than a detail.
And another tell is being asked to pay for anything with a weird source, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that can happen too, Bob. Paying with gift card, that's one you see often. A legitimate company is never going to ask you to pay for anything using a gift card. So when in doubt, do some research, Google it, you know, call the company. But really, take into account the things we talked about a few minutes ago. Spelling, grammar, the sender's address. Scammers get smarter and smarter, but they usually end up making the same mistakes where certain things become clear really quickly. And one last thing, always make sure you take advantage of the junk email services provided. Like we were talking about before, those junk mailboxes. Every time you hit the junk button instead of delete, you're training your email program to learn what's real and what's not. It's far from a perfect system, but it's one more way to try to help keep these scams from ever reaching you.
Yeah, well, you keep us smarter than the scammers. We appreciate that, Scott. There's a story today about Twitter, a spike in complaints from people trying to access their Twitter accounts via web browsers. Apparently began yesterday afternoon. Some Twitter users said they were unable to log into their accounts, and it's the latest complaint of a technical problem. What's going on with Twitter? Do you know anything about this?
I saw that. It looks to be mostly resolved this morning from what I can see. But the interesting thing about things like that is it wasn't the entire system. It still was working fine on the apps. It just seemed to be desktop. People are quick to say that it probably has something to do with the fact that Elon Musk has cut the staff of technical people. But remember, when it comes to websites being down, it could be that, certainly. But it could also be a problem on the web provider's end where something happened and caused that to happen. So I can't say for sure what caused it. And the good thing in this case is people who needed access could still get it in other ways. It's when it goes down all across the board that it's obviously a big problem. But you can rest assured that people are going to definitely be watching for this today because it was a pretty good stretch of time yesterday. So we'll just have to see if it happens again.
Got it. Okay, let's get to the Genius Bar. And today's question texted from Linda. I have a broken charger tip in the iPad charge opening. I tried super glue on top of a tiny screwdriver to pull it out. Didn't work. If I take it to someone to fix it, will that be worth it? Can they take it apart? I hope this person's not a surgeon. What about this, Scott?
Well, this is a really interesting question. And you know what this makes me think of? The answer to your question is it depends on a few factors. One, do you have AppleCare? Because if you have AppleCare, you'll probably pay a flat, depending on the thing, you'll probably pay a flat rate for what they fix. If you don't have AppleCare, it could cost, you know, who knows how much it'll cost. But I think what I would also think about is, how old is this iPad? If it's like an iPad that you just bought a few months ago and it's new, then it's probably worth having it looked at because it's new. If this is an iPad that's several years old and you might have said to yourself at some point, maybe I should update this thing, then I think we're looking at a different story. Then it may be something where if you don't have AppleCare, it's going to cost you a few $100s. There's better things out there. It may be worth looking for something new. To answer the question about whether or not they can open it up, I'm not the kind of person that is good like that to know if you can do that. I'm assuming you can take certain parts of it apart, but it's really hard to say in that particular situation. So I think I would start with asking yourself, do you have AppleCare? If you do, see if it's still active and look into that. And if you don't, start thinking about how old the actual thing is and whether or not it pays from that perspective.
Another common problem, kind of like this, with the phones, with iPhones, and stuff gets trapped in that opening for the charger, doesn't it?
It does, and I think the big thing that gets stuck in there is lint from your clothing. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, and there are ways that people stay online to get stuff out. I don't like to do that because I really worry about, you know, putting objects in things. You know, you just your caller was saying, you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes a quick call to Apple, or if you're near an Apple store, is a great thing to do, just to walk in. If something gets stuck, like you're talking about in that port, like if it's lint, they can help clean that kind of stuff out. But the other caller's issue is a little bit different.
Yeah, sometimes they will do that right there easily at the Apple Store. Yep. Scott Kleinberg, thanks as always. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
You too, Bob. Thank you.